How's everybody doing today? Good? Bring that 300 or 400 range down, Roy. Everybody doing well? Yeah? Feeling refreshed in the presence of God this morning? Come on. Hey, I want to start off by saying happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the room. We need more fathers in the lives of our children. But I also want to acknowledge that for some of us, it might be a difficult day. Because some of us either A, have lost a father, or B, we haven't experienced a good one. One thing is for sure, that we have a Father in heaven who loves us greatly, who never leaves us, who never forsakes us, who is always with us and for us and working in us and through us for his good, first and foremost, and then for your good. And so, if anything, be encouraged by that. That you have a heavenly Father that is worth celebrating this morning. Amen? Amen? And that's why we worship the way that we do. That's why we sing the way we do. That's why we're as passionate as we are. It's why we live the life that we live. Because we celebrate a heavenly Father who sacrificed everything just to save us from our sins and to rip us from the hands of death, hell, and the grave. Amen? And so happy Father's Day to you, and happy Father's Day to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God the Father. Amen? Amen. All right, I want to continue this series that we've been in. Everybody say with me, the Bible doesn't say that. Come on. The Bible doesn't say that. And we've been in this series intentionally working through some well-meaning statements, cliches, if you will, that we hear often in life. That sound pretty, sound comforting, sound encouraging, even sound biblical, but quite honestly are not. The first week we started with, God will never give you more than you can handle. We debunked that lie quite quickly because oftentimes life feels very much like we are in over our head, like we are drowning beyond belief, and a lot of times God will allow us to suffer things that are too difficult for us to handle so that we could understand and believe and have faith in the fact that we serve a God and believe in a God that can handle anything that comes his way because there's nothing impossible for him. And the church said, amen. Last week, we talked about how people typically say God says we shouldn't judge one another. And we talked about how there's a difference between judgment and accountability. And God's okay with holding each other accountable. And God's okay with us holding our brothers and sisters accountable to what is right and what is wrong. And sometimes that means we need to make righteous judgment. Judgment that isn't based on personal preferences. Judgment that isn't based on personal biases. Judgments that's based on biblical scripture and passage. What is truth in God's word and not what is truth in society and culture. Today I want to debunk another cliche statement that I've heard often which really irks me. If I could be honest with you. And this is the cliche statement that above all else, God just wants us to be happy. Let that sit in. That above all else in this world, God just wants to put a smile on your face. He just wants you to have some happy days. And he wants you to have everything your heart desires so that you could feel good, so that you could be pleased, so that you could be satisfied. And let's be honest, all of us at one point or another have either said this or thought this at some point in our lives. Maybe it was during a relationship that we probably shouldn't have been in. Maybe it was during a time where we were trying to decide between a questionable decision that we should make or not, or a time when, let's be honest, we were trying to justify something we knew didn't line up with God's word, but we wanted to justify it and make it good for us. And so, hey, at the end of the day, God just wants me to be happy. And when someone questions us further about these decisions that we make based on our happiness and our pleasure and our satisfaction, what we end up doing is we end up throwing this statement out there as if it's true that God simply just wants us to be happy. But here's the problem, is that we live in a culture, this is going to be a tough one today, so buckle up. We live in a culture that does not define happiness the way that God defines it. And we also live in a culture that has made happiness a god. And we treated this personal happiness as if it's God's highest goal for our lives. And we've idolized it. We've made happiness and this feeling and this sense of satisfaction as such an idol in our lives that we've baptized that Christian into Christian language by saying that, well, God just wants us to be happy. Here's the thing. I want you to understand something. God does want you to be full of joy. But what I want to debunk is the lie that you could ever have joy outside of Him. Yes. That you could ever find comfort and pleasure and satisfaction outside of the presence, the power, the goodness, the faithfulness, and the mercy of God. Yes. You see, the problem is that the world's definition and source of happiness and the Bible's definition and source of happiness are radically different. Extremely different. You see, the world and your heart will have you believing that whatever makes you happy must be right for you. And whatever doesn't make you happy must be wrong. And the measure of this happiness or for this state of happiness becomes your pleasure, your comfort, your senses, your feelings, and anything that makes me feel uncomfortable, anything that feels like a delay, any type of suffering or inconvenience, any type of sacrifice that I have to make or lay down must not be God's will or best for my life. And it leads to a life that doesn't line up to the Bible. It leads to a life that does not please God. And quite frankly, it leads us to live a life of compromise and deception. Because here's the danger. That belief can lead us to justify sin, reject truth, and worship comfort. It makes God out to be our personal genie rather than our personal Savior and our Heavenly Father and God. We end up believing that God was meant to live for us rather than we being meant to live for Him. And it makes sin look like it's freedom rather than a death sentence. And it drives us to make decisions based on how we feel, where it doesn't matter what anybody has to say about it, because my sin, after all, what matters is whether or not my sin makes me happy in my life. Because after all, above everything else, God just wants me to be happy. Right? You feel that. And you know that. We've all been there. We've made decisions based on our happiness rather than our holiness. Based on what feels good to us rather than what is good to us. But the question is, what does the Bible actually say about this? What does God really want for us? And I would submit the truth to you that primarily what God wants for us is simply that God is more concerned with our holiness than He is our happiness. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. It says this, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Now, I recognize that there are a lot of people in the room for which the Bible is new to you. This is fairly new. We have people all over the spectrum of the Christian journey. Some of you have been involved in church for a very long time, and we love you, we appreciate you, we bless you. Some of you are fairly new. You've never experienced church in your entire life, and this is all new to you, and you're just trying to figure out what's true, what's not true. So let me help everyone along the spectrum with what this word holy truly means, because I've realized that it could be a very loaded word. When I was going through my credentialing for my licensing as a minister
with a former denomination that we are part of, they talked a lot about suitcase words, right? Words that need to be unpacked, because what means something to me might not mean the same thing to you. And so we need to unpack it to see what it truly, genuinely means. And I recognize that that word holy is one of them. So here's a little bit of teaching for you. The Greek word for holy is hagios. Everybody say it with me, hagios. Hagios. It means set apart, sacred, different from the ordinary, or morally pure or blameless. In its biblical context, it's used to describe both the character of God and the character that is expected of his people, meaning that it describes God as the character that he has and the character that he conducts himself with, the character of who he is, and it describes us as that character is the expectation for us to then replicate or reflect is a better word. That as we are living for him, loving him, being in intimate relationship with him, it's like looking in the mirror and what's reflecting out of us is his character and nature, right? So what does holy actually mean? Holy means that we are set apart from sin and devoted to living for God through God and like God. I'll put it to you this way. Have you ever, now some of you younger generation, you don't know about this because nobody has China anymore, right? So some of you older people, I'm not looking anywhere, okay? You might know, but you knew your mom or your grandmother had this special, like, these special dishes that they put in this cupboard, right? And it was see-through so you could see how intricate the dishes were. And they would never bring those dishes out. Those were not the dishes that you used every day, right? Those were the special occasion dishes. Those were the dishes you only brought out three times a year. Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter. And then maybe at a funeral, right? Depending. Because you probably didn't want to bring the china out because then your relatives were fighting for who got the china, right? So holiness is kind of similar to that, right? It's the idea that the dishes, they were not meant for everyday meals. They were set apart for a special occasion and special purposes. The same way that something or someone is set apart for a special purpose. That's how we ought to live. That we don't give ourselves up to everyday common sinful things, but that we save ourselves for the purpose of God. That we keep ourselves set apart from everything else, not because we are better, but because we are different. And this different is a different in a good way. It's a different in the best way possible. It's a different in being holy, because being holy doesn't mean being weird or being better than others. Being holy means that we are different in how we live, love, and make decisions. It means that we are living in a way that reflects the glory of God. We are living in a way that reflects the goodness of God. It means being dedicated and clean. You don't use a scalpel to carve a chicken. How many of you would let your surgeon use the scalpel that they used on regular meat without sanitizing it, right? You nurses know that once you use a surgical tool on another person, what do you do with it? You sanitize it, discard it, and get it. You don't reuse it on someone else. That's what holy is. Holy means that you are clean, that you are sanitized, that you are set apart, that you're dedicated to God's good purpose for your life. And so what Peter is saying, you ought to be set apart, not common like everyone else, not making decisions like everyone else, not devoting yourself to everything and everyone like everyone else. But you are to be holy, set apart, different, morally pure, blameless before God, because that's the character of who God is. Yeah. So look at me. Your happiness is not God's main priority for you. Your character is. God is more concerned with you being like him than he is with making you happy. And we have to talk about this because we lived under the assumption that if it doesn't please me, it doesn't feel good, then it must not be from God for me. And that simply is not true, because God is more concerned with your character than he is your circumstantial, fleeting happiness.
Yeah, that's good.
The desire of God's heart for your life is not that each and every day you is, I'm sorry, the desire of God's heart for your life is that each and every day you would become more like him, more than making you happy, more than giving you what you want, more than pleasing the senses, the five senses of your life. He wants to shape you, he wants to transform you, and he wants to make you more like Jesus each and every single day. And sometimes that is through sacrifice, sometimes that is through discomfort, sometimes that is through difficult circumstances, sometimes that's being on the mountaintops, and sometimes that's walking through the deepest, lowest valleys. Sometimes that's walking through green pastures, and other times that's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But either way, his goal is to transform you, to shape you, and to mold you into the image of Christ, which is what you were created for. You weren't created for the fleeting pleasures of this world. You were created to live for him, by him, through him. Because ultimately, that's his best for your life.
Yes.
His will is perfect. His purpose is perfect. But you were created by him, through him, for him.
Yeah.
And not for the fleeting pleasures of this world. Not everything that feels good to you is good for you. You know what makes me happy? Burgers and hot dogs. You know what makes me happy? On a nice hot summer day, if you know me, you know this about me. You want to make my heart happy? You want to serve your pastor? Bring me an ice cold slushy, Coca-Cola, and you'll make my day. Oh, I love me a slushie. I love me some slushies. Kyle used to bring me a slushie like every other day. Every time he went to Wawa on his way to work. All right? But the reality is that although slushies taste good, they cannot be my only source of sustenance. You get what I'm saying? Why? Because slowly but surely, my body will begin to decay with all of the disgusting stuff that is in a Coca-Cola slushie, right? You laugh. But it's not just the slushies of our lives that destroy us. It's the relationship that looks good and feels good but isn't good for you. It's the desire to walk away from your spouse just because they didn't cook the right meal. It's the desire to sleep with someone just because you love them. Can we be real for a second? Oh, it feels good for a moment. But it's not God's best for your life. Looking at that website feels good for a moment. You know, Craig Rochelle always says, if it doesn't feel good, you ain't sinning right. Right? But its way leads to death and destruction. And causes all kinds of havoc and chaos, not just in your personal life, but most importantly, your spiritual life. Listen, God is not against your happiness. But he is against your sin and your compromise and your idols in which you find happiness in. And when your happiness becomes more important than your holiness, it becomes an idol in your life. And it becomes an idol that needs to be destroyed and torn down. Because when happiness becomes your idol, it leads to your pursuit of other idols that will never truly satisfy you.
Yeah.
Comfort never truly satisfies you. Money never truly satisfy you. Pleasure never truly satisfies you. Material things never truly satisfy you. Ask the richest people in the world why they are the most anxious, why they are the most depressed, why they are the least happy, even though they have everything they need. Jim Carrey is known for actually saying, I wish everyone would get everything they desired in their life. I wish they had all their dreams come true so that they could see that true happiness and satisfaction doesn't come from any of it.
Yeah. True.
And if that's from someone who's so far from God,
yeah,
how much more real should it be for us?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what we need to debunk is that you could ever truly find happiness outside of Him. You see, real joy is found in God and not apart from Him.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. Real joy comes from God and not apart from Him. Psalms chapter 16, verse 11, it says this: You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures. Look at the word. Forevermore. In other words, the deepest happiness you could ever find is found in the presence of God and not in doing or having whatever you want. True joy, which is different from happiness. Happiness is fleeting based on your circumstances and your feelings. Joy is eternal based on the glory, goodness, and faithfulness of God. You could actually be full of joy regardless of what circumstances you are feeling. That's why you could be going through the deepest, darkest moments of your life and as a believer still be full of joy because you understand and know that is the source of strength that comes from God and God alone. That joy is something that is eternal, that is not fleeting, that gives us strength, and it is found in the presence of the Savior, which is Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
And it's full and lasts forever. Doesn't last a moment. And this is something that Jesus echoed in John chapter 15, verse 11, when he says, As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. When Christ is your joy, nothing in this world truly makes you happy. I'm going to say that again. When Christ is your joy, nothing else in this world will ever truly make you happy. And I trust you, me. You could try. You could try. You could devote your life to everything this world has to offer you. And it'll never satisfy you. Because you were created to find your joy in Jesus. And when you find your joy in Jesus, you get the fullness of it. It isn't that God is not concerned with your joy. Of course, God takes pleasure in you being happy and joyful and satisfied and pleased. However, more than having a temporary and fleeting happiness, He desires for you to have an eternal and supernatural joy. And you could find that in sacrifice. And you could find that in surrender. And you could find that in things that don't make you feel comfortable. So when God asks you to lay something down, it's not difficult for you because your joy is found in Him.
Yes.
When God asks you to sacrifice something, it's not difficult for you because your joy is not found in that thing, it's found in Him.
Yeah.
Look at the order in which Jesus presents all of this. He presents it as, first, we must abide in Him. Abiding in Him leads to obeying Him. And obeying in Him leads to receiving a joy that comes from Him and Him alone. You see, true happiness is not something we chase. It's something we receive when we walk with Jesus. You want to have the fullness of joy? Fall madly in love with Him.
Yeah.
You want to have true joy? Walk according to His ways. You want to find everlasting joy? Listen to me. God desires for you to have it. And His desire for you is that you would have an eternal joy, but not at the cost of your soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say that again. God's desire for you is that you would have an eternal joy, but not at the cost of your soul. He loves you too much for that. He doesn't want you to have a cheap, temporary fix. His offering to you is something greater, and it's eternal joy that is found in His presence and in His glory and in His power. The problem with the happiness gospel is that the happiness gospel leads us to compromise rather than away from it. It leads us to choose other things over Him, but we're called to be like Moses, who the Bible says by faith, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Do you see that? What makes Moses special is that he had faith to believe that it is better to be mistreated by people. How many people find pleasure in being mistreated? Huh? You get happy from people mistreating you? Anybody? No? No? Slowly? No. No. Nobody finds happiness in being mistreated by people. But Moses chose to go through that and to live for something that was much more eternal. To be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. You see, sin feels good, but for a moment. That's why it's tempting, but it's a trap because it promises a happiness that always leads to regret. And Moses could have had everything Egypt offered, status, riches, fame, you name it, but he chose suffering for the sake of something better. And that's what we're called to do, and not to choose the fleeting pleasures of this world, but to choose eternal purpose, which is found in God, which is why God will sometimes allow you, will sometimes withhold your happiness to build your holiness. Sometimes God will withhold your happiness so that your holiness could be built up. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, it says this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Listen to me. God will allow you to be uncomfortable in uncomfortable seasons to develop you. And to make you more like Him. And contrary to popular belief, God's not out to ruin your life. He's trying to refine it.
Yeah.
Because He knows that being more like Him and living for Him is more beneficial to you than anything this world has to offer you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hebrews 12, 10, 11 says it best. For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best for them. But He being God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields to the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Look, God will take you through the fire, not to burn you, but to purify you. And sometimes that doesn't feel good. And sometimes that doesn't put a smile on your face. And sometimes that doesn't make you happy. But at the end of the day, your holiness is what matters most. You see, the facade is that you could ever find joy outside of him and outside of living for him. So now what do we say? What do we do? How do we live? How do we receive this? Let's talk about what this means for you and for me right now. Number one, I want you to ask yourself, what am I chasing? What are you chasing after? What are you setting your gaze upon? What are you setting all of your focus and all of your attention and all of your affection towards? What truly makes you happy? What are you finding pleasure in? What are you trying to satisfy the quenching of your soul or quench the thirst of your soul with? If God were to look at your calendar, your spending, your thoughts, what would he say you're pursuing most? Is it your holiness or your happiness? Are you chasing a relationship you know isn't right? Are you chasing a habit you won't let go of? Are you chasing a lifestyle that feels good but is far from God? Ask yourself, is this drawing me closer to Jesus or pulling me further away from him? And maybe it's time that you realign your joy with his truth. Because happiness apart from God always fades. But joy in God remains even when life is hard. Happiness apart from God always fades. But joy that is found in God remains even when life is hard. And you know, just all you have to do is turn on the news and know how hard life can get for this world. Riots, wars, illnesses, you name it. Enough to snuff the happiness, but never enough to remove the joy. Remember that Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's not about God giving you what you want. It's about God changing what you want. As you delight yourself in him, the desires of your heart become his desires. So I would encourage you, after you've aligned your joy with his truth, man, confess and commit to following him. Where have you compromised? What lies have you believed? Today is a chance for you to not run to the things that make you happy, but to run to the one who can only provide you the joy that can never fade away. And today's a chance for you to turn and to repent and to start again. Because happiness isn't the goal, holiness is. But you cannot be holy outside of having a relationship with him. And when you pursue holiness, God fills your life with a better, deeper kind of joy. And maybe today for you, this isn't just a message about wrong thinking. It's a moment of awakening for your life. It's a moment that maybe the reason you've been chasing happiness is because you've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus. And you've known of God, you've known about God, but you haven't really truly surrendered your life to Him for yourself personally. You haven't actually invited Him in to take over your life, to be seated on the throne of your heart. You've heard a lot of sermons, you've sang a lot of songs, you've cried a lot of tears, you've said all the right things, you've come to church to just check everything off your box, but you have never truly said, Jesus, I give you my life, and actually meant it. Look at me. He doesn't want your songs. He doesn't want your tears. He doesn't want your attendance. He doesn't want your money. In fact, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'd rather you keep it. Because none of that matters if He doesn't have your heart. Look at me. If He is not Lord of all of your life, He is not Lord at all in your life. And He doesn't just want to be another box to check off. He doesn't want to be another ritual in your life. He doesn't want to be another substitute for what it is you're looking for. He wants to be your all in all. And He wants to have your everything. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this: God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, Jesus took on our sin so that we could take on His righteousness and His holiness. And what that means for you is that you have an opportunity now to then come to Him, lay all of your sin down at His feet, and put your faith in Him to believe that He could save you from all of it, forgive you from all of it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. He freely gives it because it is a gift given to us by faith through, or by grace through faith. But you have to take the step in making that decision and surrendering your life to Him. So